President Jimmy Carter. President Jimmy Carter, since he left office in 1981, he's won the Nobel Peace Prize. He's built houses with Habitat for Humanity, written a couple dozen books.
You think that he'd take a breather here.
Mr. Carter, you're just not complacent, are you?
Oh, no, I'd like to stay busy, but everything I do, I can either do it or not do it. That's one of the privileges of being former president. You don't have to do anything you don't want to.
Yeah, but you do it. You are not a complacent. I think it's you who said, I hate to see complacency prevail in our lives when it's so directly contrary to the teachings of Christ.
Well, we do a lot of things interesting. In fact, Rosa and I have built Habitat houses now every year for 25 years, a full week. And this year we're going to the Mekong River Delta area of Vietnam and Thailand and Laos and so forth. We go overseas one year and back to this country the next year.
My goodness. Mm.
But most of our work is done from the Carter Center, and I go to the Mideast regularly. In fact, I was over there just in this past December of 2008, and before that, I made an extensive trip to the Mideast in April. So I try to stay up to date as much as possible by meeting with all the leaders in the Mideast quite regularly, representing the Carter Center.
President Jimmy Carter's new book is called We Can Have Peace in the Holy Land. He'll be signing that book tomorrow, University Bookstore, a Seattle University away, from 6:30 to 8:30.
Oh, wow.
Mr. Carter, I have to ask, how do you stay so cordial and full of love?
Well, in the first place, I'm a Christian. That helps. I have a wife of almost 63 years, Rosalind, who keeps me straight. She's a very harsh critic if I depart from what you just said. And really, I have a good life. I remember there was a cartoon in the New Yorker that illustrates this. Last year, a little boy's looking up at his father, and he says, Daddy, when I grow up, I want to be a former president. So, you know, I'm a former president, and so I have all the good things of life as well as a very good home life.
You are one blessed man. Now, here's something probably nobody's ever taken the time to do, so we're going to do it. We're going to play Name That Tune with you, if we can, President Carter. Here it is down the line. We'll give you a couple seconds to identify the tune. All set?
I'll try. I don't hear anything.
Don't you? All right, here. We'll relieve the pain. Listen.
Georgia.
I recognize that one.
Okay.
I've sung that song in the Nobel ceremonies with Willie Nelson's orchestra.
Wow. Oh, seriously?
Wow. High.
In fact, I've been on the stage with Willie Nelson five or six times, and he always brings me up to the stage to sing with him the last song. And he always turns the microphone very carefully away from my mouth near his. I have a terrible voice. But he's one of my favorites.
Well, you're one of our favorites, and I'll never forget, and this is the reason back when, many years ago, I voted for you. I'll never forget, too, I thought, what an honest man to be willing to say, I've lusted in my heart. No, and I know in some respects now it's funny, but at the time people were shocked with it. You just were honest about what our human nature is. Let me quote the line. I've looked on many women with lust. I've committed adultery in my heart many times. God knows I will do this and forgives me.
Well, that's right. And that cost me about 10% in the public opinion poll.
Well, what, being honest?
No, admitting that, but you know, that comes from the Sermon on the Mount. And when Jesus said that if you look on a woman with lust, yes, you're just as guilty, yeah, as if you committed adultery. And if you hate your brother, it's just as guilty as murder, and so forth. So he was pointing out that people ought not to brag on themselves, you know, in preference to other people and so forth. So that's what I was quoting to these guys from Playboy magazine, but I'd never knew and never dreamed it would be in the actual magazine. But that's, by the way, that's still the best-selling copy of Playboy that ever came out.
Are you serious?
I'm serious, yes.
Oh, wow.
So we're talking to, what an honor to talk to President Jimmy Carter. His new book is out. It's called We Can Have Peace in the Holy Land. Let me give you my take, and then you just give me yours. But it seems to me the objective of many not all, certainly, but many in the Middle East, is to, this is my perspective, eliminate Israel and then come after us. What's wrong with my thinking?
Well, that's not accurate anymore because beginning in 2002 and repetitively since then, all 22 nations have voted unanimously to recognize Israel's right to exist, to live in peace. And when questioned, the leaders, including the president, I mean the king of Saudi Arabia, said, we'll have the same relationships with Israel in trade and commerce that we have with each other. So now there's a unanimous commitment among the Palestinians and Arab countries to recognize Israel's right to exist, or at least to acknowledge Israel's right to exist and to live in peace.
Well, but you would concur with me that there is that element that wants to wipe Israel off the planet. I'm talking about Hamas, even in their stated objective.
Hamas has told me personally and also publicly on Al Jazeera and so forth that they would accept Israel's right to exist, to live in peace alongside them, and that also they would accept any terms of a ceasefire that was negotiated with Israel if the Palestinian people had a right to approve it, the terms of the ceasefire in a referendum, that they would accept it even if they didn't agree with some of the terms. So there's been a major move toward the acceptance of Israel to live side by side with the Palestinians.
Have you, and here's a man who's got the Nobel Peace Prize and is a man of peace. Are you kind of with me in this respect? And just to look at this from a spiritual point of view, are you, you're not one to throw your hands up. You're not, I know that. You're a worker and your heart is one for peace. But you ever sometimes wonder, you know what, until the Prince of Peace returns, it's going to be, that's the way of the world. In some respects, would you agree with that?
Well, sometimes it looks quite hopeless, but I think at this particular moment, I wrote this book, and it was designed by me and the publishers to come out the day after Obama was inaugurated to be our president. I think that the title is accurate. We can have peace in the Holy Land, a plan that will work. And I believe that a lot of factors now have arrived on the scene that make this a good time to move toward peace. Even though the results of today's election in Israel may not be to choose the most peace-loving leader, the majority of Israelis, the majority of Palestinians, all their neighbors want peace, and I've outlined in the book a formula, very specifically, but designed so anybody can understand it, even a peanut farmer. So I think this is something that the American people need to comprehend and support with the policies of our new president.
As you look back on the years since you've been out of the White House, you've had a lot of accomplishments, like Ichabod just read, you know, the Nobel Peace Prize, the best-selling books, Habitat for Humanity. Is there one thing that you can pinpoint so far that you've done since you've been out of the White House that you are most proud of, and why?
Well, I think that we're approaching the point of eradicating from the face of the earth one of the most horrible diseases that human beings have ever known. It'll be the first disease eradicated since smallpox was 30 years ago, and that is dracoon colitis, or guinea worm. The Carter Center has been in charge of this effort, and we started out with 3.6 million cases, and last year we had just 4,200 cases. Wow. That's a 99.8% reduction, and we are now working on those last 4,000 cases to eliminate them. If and when we do accomplish that, I think that would be, you know, one of the things of which I'm most proud.
Wow.
Many didn't even quite catch what you said, the guinea worm disease in Africa, and this man single-handedly has been working virtually to eliminate it.
I mean, right, that's correct. The word is eradicate. If you remove the disease from every country on earth, that's eradicate. Hmm. If you remove it from just one country, they call that eliminate. Hmm. And so we have the only a task force on disease eradication in the world at the Carter Center. We analyze every human illness every year, about two or three times a year, to see which ones might be eradicated or eliminated. In fact, we're going to start working this year on doing away with two diseases in Hispaniola, which is Haiti and the Dominican Republic. And they are lymphatic filariasis and malaria. So that's what the Carter Center does.
Wow.
With about three-fourths of our budget and about three-fourths of our people.
You must love Bill Gates, too, and all that he's done.
I do.
Yeah. Well,
the director of the Carter Center, Dr. William Peggy, went from being our leader to the chief medical advisor for the Gates Foundation when it was formed.
Huh. President Jimmy Carter, what an absolute delight. I love you, man. You're just a guy that's got a huge heart, and you're consistently yourself. You're a humble man. I'd hug on you if we were here in person, whether you like it or not.
The Secret Service says that was okay. Yeah.
Hug okay, well, I'll be in Seattle tomorrow, and I'm going to be near one of my prides and joys, and that is a submarine that's named for me, which is stationed not too far from Seattle.
That's right. That's right.
The USS Jimmy Carter.
Mm-hmm. Fabulous. We can have Peace in the Holy Land in his book. University Bookstore will be signing it tomorrow night, 6:30 to 8:30. Oh, final question, our signature question for President Jimmy Carter.
Right.
What's your very first childhood memory? What's the very first thing you remember growing up?
I remember when I was 3 years old, I was climbing up on the front of a high chest of drawers that had the drawers pulled out. I pulled the drawers out, and it tumbled over on top of me.
Okay, listen. Here's the analogy. Sometimes they say your first memory will determine what happens in life. You're going to get to the top, whether it's bringing peace to people or whatever. Sometimes it'll topple over on you, but you're gonna pull out those drawers, figure out some way.
Unconventional way, but you got to still work at getting up there.
And I got up and kept going with my life. Sure.
There you go.
There you go. God bless you, Mr. Jimmy Carter.
Thank
we
you.
Sure
it's
appreciate
a pleasure
you.
To talk to y'all.